Hey y'all, welcome back to the Brianna Approved podcast. This is my 60th episode of the podcast. So first and foremost, thank you for listening along for 60 episodes. I am extra excited for this episode today because the timing is amazing with the new year. We're going to be talking all about optimizing productivity. I'm going to chat a little bit about the differences between habits and routines, because there is a difference. We're going to talk about 4 tips for optimizing productivity, and I'm also going to tell you how to get a free download of something we call the Time Box Planner, which has literally changed my life. It's 10x my productivity. You're going to love it. But first, let's get into the fun fact of the day while I sip cafe. Did you know habit formation can take on average 59 to 70 days, and it can take about 59 days until a new habit becomes automatic? This is important to understand because there is a difference between a habit and a routine. Many times when we are trying to implement new routines, this is going to be time-based. So every time I eat breakfast, I do XYZ, or sometimes it can also be routine-based. So every time I go to the gym, I am going to take my supplements at 8 a.m. So routine-based and time-based are 2 important factors when we're forming a routine. But what's important to note is the difference, right? So routines are generally associated with a repetitive time. So every day at 8 a.m., every day at 9 a.m., bedtime routines, so on and so forth, where a habit is usually related to a specific behavior. So again, the example here is going to be your bedtime routine. This is going to include habits like every time I go, before I go to bed, I brush my teeth, I gua sha on my face, or again, if it's in the morning, every time I wake up, I ice roll my face. So what experts have found is that it's the number of repetitions that is more important than the amount of time when it comes to forming a new habit. Repetitions is going to be what really, really matters here. So how often am I doing something as opposed to saying I logged 5 hours doing it? I would rather see somebody do something every single day for 2 minutes and doing that consistently than just doing it one time, this lump sum, and then not having it actually stick. And there's a reason for this. So there's something called synaptic plasticity, which means that every time that you are repetitively doing something, that you're strengthening the connections between your neurons. So every habit that you're building, you're connecting those neurons, which is really important so that it becomes more automatic. And so again, your brain is continuously building these strong connections to support that behavior in the future. So to recap, we want to think about number of repetitions. That's going to be important. Routines deals with that repetitive time frame. So every night at 7 p.m., every morning at 5 a.m., where habits are related to more specific behaviors. So facial cupping, gua sha, journaling, meditation, whatever it is. And so 4 quick tips to think about when we're trying to implement a new habit can be things that will be easy wins to add into your daily life. So number 1, I think setting an alarm on your phone can be really helpful if this is something new to you. So I do this a lot with clients where maybe they are not great at drinking a lot of water. I will literally have them set an alarm at 2 p.m., 3 p.m., 4 p.m. to be a reminder to them to drink water. So you can set an alarm. Number 2, using an accountability tool. This is amazing if you maybe are not holding yourself accountable, or you get really excited for a little bit and you lose momentum. So this can be an app, perhaps, like maybe it's a workout app. It could also just be an accountability buddy. Like every Wednesday, my friend and I go to this gym class together or something like that. So accountability does go a long way. This is also important for working with a coach. This is why actually paying for something, investing in a coach, signing up for a program, something like that. It's just holding you accountable where you can't really bail on yourself. So set an alarm, have accountability. Number 3, share your success with others or reward yourself. I'm a huge stickler on this. Ask any of my friends or family members. Anytime something really positive happens, I always say we have to do something small to celebrate it, because this is going to remind the brain that synaptic plasticity, or that pruning, right? That We're learning something new and we're encouraging the brain to keep seeking that out and to do it again. So it doesn't have to be, you know, a trip to Bali. It can be something small like I'm going to get a coffee, or again, sharing that so you can get positive feedback and positive encouragement for others, because that will make you feel good. Don't underestimate the power of positive reinforcement when we have a natural proclivity to be very hard on ourselves, especially when forming a new habit. And then last but not least, habit stacking. This is actually one of my favorite tools. So habit stacking is a way to be intentional about implementing something into your life that is new, that again can feel arduous at first. So what you're going to do is actually pair your new habit with a particular time and location, and then you're going to stack it with another habit. So for example, it's going to be your, you know, before or after my current habit, I will new habit. So after I pour my cup of coffee every morning, that is my habitual habit. After I pour my cup of coffee every morning, I will meditate for 1 minute. So that's your new habit. Before or after my current habit, I will X my new habit. Another example can be after I put on my running shoes, I will text a friend. Or before I get into bed, I will do my time box planner for the next day. So again, it's really just stacking something to have that kind of cues and pairings and associations, so it makes it feel more habitual. So habit stacking, set an alarm, get accountability, and share your success with others. Now, for the second half of the show, we are going to talk about optimizing productivity. I actually saw this post on Instagram. I want to give credit where credit is due. You can go check out this guy named Ben Meir, and he has something called a productivity cheat code. So you can Google it. You can check out his Instagram. But this guy, Ben, is really, he's all about building systems around things like health and wealth and free time. And he's kind of this personal development specialist. So he calls it this sheet to use to get shit done. So go check out Ben Meir and his Instagram, but we're going to talk about some of them here today. And then the last optimization hack that we're going to talk about is this time boxing sheet, which you can get for free and download it, and it's going to literally change your life. Okay, so one of the first optimization hacks is going to be the Pomodoro technique. And this is really great for interval style of working. So the Pomodoro technique looks something like this. What you're going to want to do is it's a list of 1 through 5. So get yourself a piece of paper and write out numbers 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. So number one, you're going to list your task out. So let's say you have to write an article for somebody. So you're going to write, okay, number one, my task is I have to write this article. Number two, what you're going to do is actually set a timer for 25 minutes. And in that 25 minutes, you're going to do nothing but the task at hand. Then number three is kind of just a combination of that. So number two is set the timer. Number three is actually working for 25 minutes. And then when that timer goes off, I don't care where you are in that habit, you're going to intentionally take a 5-minute break. And then when that 5 minutes is up, you're going to repeat this 4 more times. So you're going to kind of rinse and repeat. And so you're doing this 25-minute intervals. If 25 minutes doesn't feel great for you, you can obviously do smaller or larger intervals. But the idea is that you are doing this interval working, knowing when you're going in like, oh man, okay, I have a break in 10 more minutes. And in those 10 minutes, I can laugh at memes for 5 minutes, or I can make a matcha, or I can call my mom real quick. So again, it's that intentional intervals of working and rest. So that's the Pomodoro technique. Number two, we have the 3-3-3 method. Now, this is where the time box planner can be very helpful as well. So what you're going to do here is, again, 3-3-3. So there's going to be 3 hours of important things. There's going to be 3 shorter tasks, and then there's going to be 3 maintenance tasks. So what you're going to do is kind of, you can wireframe out or use something like this, which we'll talk about, which is our time box planner. You're going to, number one, spend 3 hours on your most important thing or your most important project. So this is really good because it's going to help you focus, and you can break this down into, you know, kind of daily chunks or sort of weekly and monthly progress too. So you're going to actually spend 3 hours of dedicated focus, and you can kind of break that up as you need to. So let's say 3 hours is cumulative. You might say, okay, from 9 to 10, I'm going to do this. From 2 to 3, I'm going to do this. And then from 5 to 6, I'm going to do this. It's really just about spending that 3 hours on the most important project that you have either for the day or for the week. Number two, you're going to complete 3 shorter urgent tasks or things that you've been avoiding. We call this kind of your doom pile. So you know when you're making a to-do list and you kind of just keep putting things at the bottom of it, like they're usually very small things. I got to fold my laundry. I got to put it away. I have to return this thing. I have to go online and order this. I have to send this email. Those doom tasks that pile and pile, you're going to then complete those 3 shorter tasks. And then the last one is going to be your 3 maintenance tasks or 3 things that are going to just kind of keep you running smoothly. And what I like for this is that it really kind of lets you have some progress to take a step back and focus on other things that maybe you sort of shelf when life gets hectic and chaotic. So here I like to think of these as categories. So, okay, what have I done recently for, you know, my health, for my mindset, for relationships, for housekeeping, for you know, kind of learning more, right? So figure out whatever buckets you want to be, but make sure that you're just doing 3 little maintenance tasks. So that could be reading 5 pages of a book. That could be listening to a podcast for a few minutes, whatever that's calling a friend. So 3 hours on an important project, 3 hours for shorter tasks, and then 3 maintenance tasks. Okay, we have 2 more. This one is really quick and easy. It's called Eat the Frog. This one's really good for your mind, a little mind shift. What you want to do is the idea, if somebody said to you, your job is to eat a frog. The thinking here is that, okay, if I have this whole day ahead of me and if I have to eat a frog, that sounds disgusting. It's probably best to get this done first thing in the morning. And so if your job is to actually eat 2 frogs, what you want to do is eat the biggest frog first. So what this means, the eat the frog concept, is do the hardest task first, and then the rest will be easier. So thinking about what does my day look like ahead? What is the thing I'm avoiding doing? What seems really overwhelming? What seems daunting? And if you have a couple of those piling up, you want to eat the biggest frog first, hypothetically. What's that biggest project? Because then everything after that just really feels easy, and you get those quick wins, and you get that dopamine hit from crossing something off your checklist. So that is your eat the frog. The last strategy we're going to talk about before we close out with the time box is called the Seinfeld strategy. Not to be confused with the Seinfeld show. But this one's also really good if you're a visual person like me. I know I have a physical calendar on my desk. I'm really big about writing down, you know, like when I go to the gym and when I have appointments. And so this is very good for building positive momentum and consistency, which that ultimately breeds discipline and then trackable progress, which will help you when you start to feel like maybe you haven't made as much progress as you want, because again, we're really hard on ourselves. So what you're going to do is set your goal. Step one, this might look like I want to go to 4 Pilates classes a week, or I want to walk cumulatively for 200 minutes a week. What you're going to do is then mark on your calendar every time that you do that. So you can put a little check mark, you can put a smiley face, a sticker, color code it, do whatever you want. And then you're going to keep that streak going as long as you can. Do it for as many days in a row as you can, but never miss 2 days in a row. That's the rule. And you can make that, you can maybe make that, you know, 2 or 3 days, or maybe a number that feels more comfortable for you. But again, the idea is to physically look at something and say, okay, I set this goal. I'm having momentum with it. Even if I only went for a little bit, because remember the difference between, you know, habits and making sure that we're getting that repetitive motion in as opposed to just logging a lot of time. It's going to be really great for giving yourself a pat on the back when we're not always good at that. Okay, now for the last part of the show, we are going to talk about the time box planner that has literally 10x'd my productivity. Now, my brother and I have created a version of this that has been adopted from Harvard's top 100 productivity list. This is where I originally saw it, and I absolutely freaked out in the best way possible because, again, I didn't realize how visual of a person I actually am. I've been writing on whiteboards my whole life. I love crossing things off my to-do list. I love sitting down the night before and thinking about what I have to do the next day. So I was kind of already doing a lot of these things. These are things I also suggest to clients over the years, like let's sit down the night before and think about how we want our day to be tomorrow. Let's be really intentional about it. So this is really great because at the core, it's a very simple way to kind of task together priorities and make a schedule and stick to it. And so it really helps you to single task or be monotasking as opposed to multitasking all the time. It's great for helping to keep you stay focused. It helps you to prioritize things. You can feel less stressed and overwhelmed. And then again, it just kind of makes things a little bit more manageable, and it helps you feel accomplished because, especially if you use the daily one, you can look back at the end of the week and be like, wow, I've really accomplished quite a bit here. Now, we have two versions of this. The Harvard one originally was just the weekly, or was just the daily one. We created a weekly one too, because sometimes some people are more macro when they're setting their goals, and some people like to really break things down and be a bit more scrupulous. So we're going to start with the, let's start with the weekly one. I love this. So as you can see here, we have the week of, so you're going to put the date there. I think that's important for kind of keeping accountability. And then what I love, what's a little bit different about ours, is that we've added some other things. So we have either a theme of the week that you want to focus on, a quote, an affirmation. Again, when the week starts to get chaotic and hectic and things pile up, it's nice to have some kind of intention set or something like, I'm open to receiving blessings in ways I didn't think. Or maybe it's a vibe you want to have. Like, this week, I want to be efficient. And so it just kind of brings you back to that. And then at the bottom here, we also have, you know, some other prompts. If you're my client or my friend, you know, I'm big on prompts. How do I want to feel? What do I want to give or receive today? And that doesn't always mean something monetary. That could be, I want to give myself grace and compassion today. I want to give myself a moment of peace. How do I want to feel this week? What's one word I want to use to describe the energy or the vibe? So these are also things that, again, when the week feels overwhelming, you can come back to it. Now, we also have on our weekly time box planner something called a brain spill section. A lot of people will call this a brain dump, and I don't like the linguistics of that. I think a brain spill sounds more positive because we have so much things swirling around in our head at any given time. You're going to just literally write all the things that you're thinking about this week. I know on Sunday nights, especially for me, Sunday night Brianna growing up, I've talked about this in the past, I would just think about all the things I had to do, all the places I had to go, appointments, assignments, all of that. So you're writing all that down here. And then what you do is you prioritize your top 1, 2, 3 things for the entire week. So maybe you have 10 things in your brain spill list. You're going to prioritize those. And then you can take it a step further and say, okay, I know I have 10 things here on my brain spill. I have 3 things in my top priorities. But Monday, maybe it's really just about me getting my ducks in a row. And then Tuesdays, maybe more of an actionable day. Because again, there's a difference between being efficient and being effective. Efficient days can be bam, 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 I'm crossing 10 things off my list. And effective days can be you do one thing that's actually quite monumental and has a really positive ripple effect for everything else. So efficiency and effectiveness, I think, are important to have that difference. So, you know, am I being efficient today? Am I being, you know, effective? And what's my priority? So this is your weekly list. This is your weekly one. And then lastly, we have our daily one. So again, here you're going to write the day and the date. So it's Monday and this is the date. Because I think, again, sometimes you're like, what day of the week it is? And you're like, oh man, I haven't done a lot. Or you give yourself some kindness and say, it's only Tuesday. I have a lot of days left. And then here, same thing. You have all of your brain spill activities. So you're writing everything for that day. It's Monday. I have all these things I have to get done. Write it all down. And then you're going to prioritize your top 3 things for that day. And then what I love about the daily one, which is a little bit different than the weekly one, is that you're going to literally block out chunks of time for what you want to do. So you will put from 5 to 6 a.m., I am going to the gym. And then from 7 to 8 a.m., I'm going to research on PubMed. And then from 11 to 3, I'm blocking out actually all of my meetings. And then from 3:30 to 5, I'm going to write that article, whatever it is. And it's just a really good, clean, visual way to say, okay, I have everything moving all over the place. How can I intentionally focus and break down my day? I even tell people for this, you can use something like time blocking for if you're somebody who worries a lot and overthinks. I've had clients put in their calendar, I say, okay, then you can give yourself 30 minutes to just completely go out of your mind and think about all the worst case scenarios. And then when that 30 minutes is up, you're going back to your next thing on your list. So you can also put in time for things like that. I always joke with my family, like, oh, I'm going to put in time to be spontaneous. You can put in time to decompress, time to laugh at memes, whatever it is, right? That's going to help you kind of feel, again, more productive and just controlling the controllables. So that's the time box planner. If you want a version of this, you can go to my Instagram page at Brianna DiIorio. There is a link there on my Linktree profile. It's free. You can download it. It's going to change your life. So let me know how it's working for you. So to wrap up the show, my 60th show, I want to leave everybody with a new little segment that I have called Reflect and Connect. So these are questions, prompts, things to ponder, to ask others, to ask yourself. And I think, again, this time of the year, it is important to be kind to ourselves, give yourself some, you know, compassion, understand that time takes time, but you do have to have some accountability and hold yourself accountable and be honest. So the question I want to leave everybody with is, if I keep the same habits I have now, in 1 year, will my life be better or worse? Because we know that habits compound over time, good or bad. Those habits can compound. They have a compounding effect. So are you making smart habit investments, or are you digging yourself into a hole? So if I keep all of the same habits that I have right now, in 1 year from now, and even 3 months from now, will my life be better or worse? So I hope this episode was helpful. I can't wait to hear feedback. If anybody implements any of these tools, let me know. And I look forward to seeing you on the next episode. Ba-da-ba-ba-da-ba. Pew!